Welcome to this podcast from Barlow McCarthy. We hope you find insight and a catalyst for change in the topics we discuss. Now, here is today's presentation.
Gabriel Flores is the Provider Relations Manager at Oregon Health and Science University with over 20 years of experience in healthcare strategy and entrepreneurship. He is the host and writer of the podcast, The Shades of Entrepreneurship, the owner of Creatively Insane, co-founder of the nonprofit Latino Founders, and president of the board of directors for the American Association of Physician Liaisons. In our conversation today, Gabriel and I are going to identify and compare the similarities between being an entrepreneur and being in a physician strategy role, whether that be in physician relations, physician recruitment, a practice leader, or a physician leader. I think you'll find that there's several that we can identify with that are seen in entrepreneurs, but also seen in the work that we do. Gabriel, it's great to have you with us today.
Allison, thank you for allowing me to jump on the show. I'm very excited to talk about my experience and really kind of hopefully provide some value to your listeners.
Yeah, great. And so let's set the stage, Gabriel, with, you know, in addition to being manager of provider relations at Oregon Health and Science University, you also have this series of podcasts and blogs titled The Shades of Entrepreneurship. So when you think about, I don't know if I want to call it day job versus night job, but those two pieces, what similarities have you found between the physician strategy work and entrepreneurship?
Yeah, great question. And the way I kind of define the two, it's the 9 to 5 and the 5 to 9 job, right? So those are the two different. And you know, it's kind of interesting. So those folks that might not be aware of my background, I'm in the physician liaison world. So that's kind of my profession. I've been in healthcare for some time now. And there is a lot of similarities between what we're doing from like an outreach strategy kind of perspective to an entrepreneurship perspective, because in healthcare, you really are assessing the community needs. And that's exactly what an entrepreneur needs to do. In order to be a successful entrepreneur, you have to identify a customer need and actually create value to the customer so they can actually purchase your product. And that's the same thing in the healthcare world. You know, a lot of the things that our healthcare hospitals are trying to do is, how do we provide value to our communities to ensure that their patients have the adequate healthcare needed? But more importantly, how do we ensure that that healthcare is close to home, right? The last thing we want to do is have these patients travel so far away. And the only way we can understand that is for these physician liaisons to actually get out in the community, meet and network with these other community leaders to understand their needs assessment, right? What are their healthcare needs? Then you can kind of start building a strategy around that. And that's the same as a small business, right? You go to conferences, you go to workshops, maybe you do some actual cold calling with customers and kind of get a gauge of what it is that they value, and then really create a product or service towards that value, right? Because that's really going to re-engage their customers and actually create new ones. And that's the same thing with healthcare, because we really work on referrals, right? If you look at the healthcare world, we work on referrals. We're working on creating our brand. We're working on messaging. So it's really imperative that, you know, as a liaison, we get out in the community and we understand the needs, because that is going to help build strategy, right? When you come back as a liaison, you get a lot of that information, you come and give it back to your C-suites, and they're going to kind of help create a structure around the information you absorb in your outreach. Same as an entrepreneur, right? Either you're doing it by yourself or you're coming back to your team. Maybe you have a business partner and you're just sharing your knowledge. Hey, this is what I learned in the community. These are some of their needs. How can we provide value? How can we address the needs, right? Every good product is actually a solution. We didn't know that we needed a computer in our pocket until we had the iPhone. Now everybody's like, how do we live without it, right? In fact, some of people are probably like, man, I wish I could live without it, right? Because it's such a thing. But yeah, there's a lot of similarities, I think, between the liaison world and the entrepreneurship for sure.
Yeah, and what I love that you just said is, I think about the entrepreneur, they're identifying the need, but they also have to assess how common that need is across a sizable population to build a business around it. Just like healthcare systems, I mean, we can't tweak everything for a single customer, but to the extent that liaisons are identifying themes that say, we need to tweak this or we need to change that or we need to create this, then that's what the C-suite really listens to and then adjust the operation accordingly. That's great. So entrepreneurs, sort of another way I was thinking about this is they have to do it all. They are the vision. They run the operation. They direct finance, human resources, et cetera, et cetera. And I see physician strategy professionals needing to have that broad knowledge as well, both about the organizations they serve, understand what it is we do and how we do it, but also their customers, medical practices, clinics, I mean, whatever they are, how do they run? How do they operate? What makes them tick, et cetera? Does that make sense to you? Do you agree with that? And how do you see it from your frame of reference?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I kind of look at physicians as entrepreneurs in themselves, right? Because they are having to go out and they build their practice. And that's where the liaison role comes into play, right? Our goal is really to kind of help them build their practice, help that physician understand our community, have them understand the landmines, right? Because I think every state has those landmines. Hey, whether they're political or they're geographical or whatever that case may be, as a liaison, we have to be very knowledgeable about what's out in the market to kind of ensure that we're not stepping on anybody's toes. And the same thing with starting a business. So for example, if you're going to start a business, the first thing you're probably going to do to your kind of mentioned it earlier is one, ensuring that the product or service you're selling is actually going to, people actually want it. Just because you as an individual say like, you know what, man, I think that people are really going to like an electric staircase so I can get to the top of my cabinets over my fridge. Well, maybe that's just for you. When once you actually take that product out to design and show it off to customers, you may realize, man, you know what? This is a great idea, but nobody actually needs it. Take Steve Jobs, for example, right? The first supercomputer before Mac came out, he created a supercomputer, but it was so far in advance that nobody saw the need for it at the time. And it wasn't for years later that finally the Mac came out. People were like, oh, you were just so ahead of your time. We just didn't know we needed it yet, right? And so that's kind of the same thing as physicians. It's imperative that a physician go out in the community, understand kind of what the community can do and they can't do, because the last thing you want to do is going to community and offer a competing service that somebody else already does, but does it either the same or they do better than you or vice versa, because that just kind of creates a bad relationship. And so it's imperative, just like an entrepreneur, to one, understand your customers, understand what those customers are able to provide, and then what is that price point, right? You kind of want to be within those three things, because that's going to help build that strategy. And same with a physician, right? You're going to help build the strategy. Your hospital may not go recruit a bone marrow transplant provider if they're only going to do two or three cases a year. But if you have a bone marrow transplant provider that's able to do about 50, yeah, you're probably going to get them recruited, right? And so you're also going to kind of need to know your market, need to do your needs assessment, as I mentioned. And this, from a healthcare perspective, there's a lot of free information out there. You can go online and you can go to your local states, or you can go to the national databases, and you can see exactly, like the CDC will tell you, what are the incident rates, right? What are the incident rates in your community for what specific disease sites? And then really target those, right? If you're seeing a lot of melanoma on your coastal region, target that location with one of your dermatologists, talk about screening and prevention. The goal isn't, again, the goal is not to continue to get referral volume from that location, but it's actually to help the community, right? It always has to come back to the community. And that's really what my business is about too, is how do I give back to the community? How do I highlight our community members? And that's why the Shades of Entrepreneurship podcast kind of came about. How do we organically provide a stage and a platform for these entrepreneurs, especially during the pandemic, to really showcase what they're doing and say, hey, even though our brick and mortar sit down location may not be available, we're still open for business. We still have value to provide our customers. But first is kind of understanding that. And that's why I think the outreach world, you know, in the healthcare side is so important. Getting out there, communicating with the community, understanding their needs, and then sometimes understanding what they are unable to do is really important too. I think a lot of the times with academic medical centers in particular, we'll go in and we'll start talking about our multidisciplinary approach to a community hospital. And then the community hospital says, well, that's great, but we don't have a CT MRI, or we don't have a proton machine, or we don't have this or that, right? And so being mindful of that as well, and understanding what their limitations are, And then targeting that, targeting the limitations, right? But I think like the physicians, I always see them as the entrepreneur because they are truly by themselves growing their, helping to grow their practice. The only thing the healthcare system's giving them is one, a salary and a brand, right? And at the end of the day, they're like, okay, now go build that, go build the program, right? Continue to study, continue to get better, right? These individuals are up till late at night studying, doing case studies, doing casework, and they're just trying to do it to get better, right? And it's, it truly is sometimes a lonely at the top, I'd say as well.
Yes. Well, and I, as you were describing some of that, it made me even think about there's the physician that comes in to build a practice. If you're a physician leader, let's say you're the chief of the department, it's the same thing. So what are you going to build as part of the Department of Surgery that is needed in your community? And some of that intelligence can come from the outreach folks, the liaisons. Some of it is probably you doing your own homework and understanding what's already there, what's not there, and what needs to be done. And it leads also to the physician recruitment side of our physician strategy spectrum. It reminded me of one time I was speaking to a hospital out west. It was sort of in a rural market, a couple of hours from a really true tertiary center. And they said, you know, we're trauma, we take care of trauma, so we need a neurosurgeon to do some brain surgery. And the first thing I said back was, you know, I think I'm going to go interview neurosurgeons that do brain surgery to find out what are their expectations. If they were to come to your community, what do you expect you're going to make available for them to have a practice that's worthy of their experience, their expertise, et cetera. It's that same homework. It's that same assessment that you just spoke about, right? So no matter where we are, we're a physician, we're a liaison, we're a recruiter, no matter where we are in that spectrum, that outreach and understanding of need is such a vital part of being successful in those roles.
That's very true. And I think it's also important to like not be too niche, right? Because I think sometimes, in particular in the healthcare world, right? We have a lot of new providers that come in, they get very engaged. I want to start a new service of excellence in this really super niche location, right? And I think the important piece of that is, and like, don't get me wrong, the riches are in the niches, right? When you think of business, and if you can think of a niche product, think of like a shoe, a custom shoe, you know, a niche product, but sometimes those custom shoes can go for lots of money because again, the riches are in the niches, right? Yeah. If you find something, but in healthcare, it's sometimes difficult, you know, to find the niche because the operational cost behind it to stay in a program like that for a long period of time, it kind of becomes difficult. And so that's why it's also important for like entrepreneurs and physicians to get out in the community and ask other individuals, understand the community needs, take your product or service to like, for if you're a provider, take it to a grand rounds and do a grand round lecture, do some case studies with it and get an engagement of like, hey, does this service in the community make sense? Or am I barking up the wrong tree? And it's the same thing with entrepreneurship, going out to these trade shows, getting customer feedback about whether this product is functional, whether they see found value in it, asking the imperative questions to understand like what works and what doesn't work. Because if we sit at home in our little box and we create a product and we're like, this works perfect for me, well, we might be the outlier, right? We might not be the norm. For example, I'm a taller, slim gentleman and extra large shirts from Nike fit me like a sleeping bag. But if I buy a large, I am wearing a tube top. So I have to look at different, you know, I am the outlier, right? Nike is not going to change the way they make t-shirts simply because Gabriel Flores doesn't fit it. They're going to go with the majority, right? And in fact, like myself, when I create a sweater or clothing line item, I'm not going to buy just only extra large because that's what fits me. I'm going to look at the average sizes that people buy per 100 units,
right?
So like 1% is an XL. 12% is going to be a medium, 25% is going to be large, 27 XL, and so on and so forth. So then I'm not reinventing the wheel, because I think that's another thing too, is there's a lot of shared knowledge available. There's a lot of experience available. Networking is key to any profession, right? Whether you're a provider, whether you're an entrepreneur, whether you're a librarian, networking is key, sharing knowledge with others, you don't have to spend the, you know, six digit kind of college tuition like I did at Syracuse. You can easily go to a library and there's a lot of free education there. You can go on YouTube. You can network people on social media. You can go, you can attend to attend a conference of your profession or a profession you're interested in learning about. You know, that's one thing I talk about too, about like kind of overcoming this imposter syndrome. I think a lot of people feel that, especially in a new line of business, that, man, I don't know what I'm doing, or feel like I'm a fraud and they're going to find out. Everybody at some point started at the same spot you are, right? Fake it till you make it. If you want to learn about being a podcaster, attend a podcast conference, network, reach out to me. I'm happy to talk with you, or Allison. If you want to learn about being a physician liaison, I'm happy to talk to you about that too. If you want to become an actor, hey, I got some people in my network I'm happy to connect you with, right? But networking is key. Learning from others is key. And really just keeping an open mind to other people's experiences, because other people's experiences allow us to grow and learn and actually innovate, right? Innovation is key, right? Creating the same product, doing the same thing over and over is the definition of insanity, and expecting a different result, right? That's a true definition of insanity. I'm trying to do things over and over, but innovate every time. Right? How can I make something better? How can I make something new? How can I continue to create value? And that's the same thing with the providers. How do we create value to our customers? How do we create value to our health system, right? Because we have to keep our jobs, right? That's my job as liaison. My job is to keep the lights on. How do I create value to my health system? I create value by helping our providers build their programs, right? And so it's just kind of defining what it is that you need to do, how you need to do it, and then really kind of executing and then building from others. You know, networking is so important. I cannot express the importance of networking.
Well, and I wanted to elaborate on that, because in addition to the networking, I think that it requires, as I'm sure you're describing entrepreneurs as well, it requires a real level of curiosity and desire to learn, right? You have to sort of crave that to both be an entrepreneur, a successful entrepreneur, as well as we're talking about in these roles. It just feels like that's, in a nutshell, a lot of what you've been describing in this networking and assessment piece is just a genuine desire to go out and ask lots of questions and learn a lot of stuff.
Definitely. And you know, one thing I'm not saying is I'm not telling people to work 15 hours a day. Absolutely not. Work smarter, not harder. Create processes. Understand that there's some things you are good at and there's some things that you're not. Outsource those. Listen, I'm realizing pretty quickly, I am not the best marketer. I get it. I'm a strategist. I'm good at talking to people, but creating a social media strategy for my podcast, not the best, right? And so I'm working with other people. I'm not the best content creator. So I'm learning. I've invited people. Shout out to my boy, Luel, who's actually really helped me quite a bit figuring out, hey, how do I create these really fancy videos and put them on my Instagram reel so I can get some engagement? Don't take any shame for saying, I do not know something, right? Getting out there, learning from others is so important. And it's really as fun, because you begin to learn other people's, what are they going through? Because me as a Latino in America, I might be going through something different than an African-American, an Asian-American, a Caucasian-American. We all have different things, but there's also a lot of similarities, right? And that's really where the innovation starts to take place, is understanding, you know what, there are some differences, but here's where we mesh, and here's where we can create a product that actually is going to benefit and value both of us. It's going to help value everybody, or create value for everyone. And so that's really where I see it kind of the mirror, right? The bridge between entrepreneurship, healthcare, networking, it all kind of goes together. Because I think you mentioned it earlier, as a liaison, you kind of have to have some of these attributes, right? You have to be not necessarily an extrovert, because introverts can be it as well, but you certainly have to be comfortable enough to kind of start a conversation and hold a conversation and fill in the voids when the silence occurs. Because there are going to be times when silence occurs, and those are awkward silence. Nobody likes it, right? And as a liaison, you kind of got to keep the conversation going, because at the end of the day, your job out of that conversation is to gain valuable feedback. How do we gain little golden nuggets so I can relay it back to our executive team?
Yeah. And, you know, similar to the roles that we're talking about, and I'm guessing it would be the same with entrepreneurs, is if all we're doing is talking, we're not learning. So yep. The ability really to ask questions. So an entrepreneur, if he's got a team, he's not only asking customers questions, he's asking his team's questions about, you know, how to meld things together in a different way. It's what exactly we have to do as liaisons, as recruiters, or any even a physician leaders. We've got to learn how to really be good at asking good questions and listening well to what's being said, digesting it, and then rethinking it, recrafting it, reinterpreting it in
some way. That's a great point. Just to kind of add on to that, don't ask questions to people that are going to give you the answers you want to hear.
Right.
You know, don't just target individuals that are going to give you exactly what you want to hear because it's easier. Bring in people that are really crucial to what you're doing. It is the same with healthcare. You're going through a reorg. Maybe you're having some referral issues getting through your intake system. Reach out to a referring provider that actually really talks about the system the most. They're the ones that have the most pain points, and they're going to give you the most valuable feedback. And they're going to be honest about it. Sometimes ripping off the Band-Aid, it sucks, but you got to rip off the Band-Aid because you can't fix a broken arm with the Band-Aid, right? And so ripping it off sometimes, understand what's underneath it to fill it out and clean it, and then we can repair it. Because if you're just asking people that are going to give you the cookie cutter answers with a little bit of sugar on top, you're not going to grow.
Yeah, that's fabulous. And that's really a key point is, yes, who you talk to and who you're asking questions of is critical. The one other angle on this I had thought about was, and you mentioned it earlier with, you know, being lonely at the top, the entrepreneurs got a lot of responsibility on their shoulders, and typically they're the boss. They've built this venture. They're the boss. If we think of physicians as an entrepreneur, they're often, whether they're employed or not, they're often perceived as the leader of the practice. Similarly, if I think about liaisons, recruiters, you know, even physician leaders, it's not like there's umpteen of them in the organization. Right. It's not like being a nurse where like there's lots of you. You're kind of an island unto yourself. It feels a little remote. It feels a little isolating. What have you learned from entrepreneurs about how they manage that? That might be helpful for our listeners who are in one of these liaison recruiter, physician leader kind of roles.
Yeah, great, great question. And that, you know, entrepreneurship, I think a lot of jobs, when you kind of get into that higher echelon level of leadership, it does kind of get a little lonely because, as you mentioned, there are fewer individuals within those roles to kind of, you know, misery loves company kind of thing. Yes. But in healthcare, I think the competition is really actually important. Let me give you an example. Our healthcare system actually had to restart our heart transplant program a few years ago. And during that time, a competing healthcare system in our state decided to start their transplant program as well. Mm-hmm. And in truth, our providers actually welcome that because in healthcare, it's not misery loves company. It's our providers love empathy. And dealing with heart transplant patients can be very difficult. And when you're having to make these decisions, life-changing decisions with individuals and their families, having a sound wall to kind of bounce off, like, hey, this is what I'm dealing with, and having another provider truly understand that is very, very important because it creates that network that is imperative. You know, I always talk about climbing up the corporate ladder, and it's so important when you climb up the corporate ladder to reach down and help people climb up, because at the end of the day, our foot might slip on that corporate ladder and we may begin to fall. And it's those individuals that we actually reach down to help up, they're going to reach out to help us from falling, right? And so it's really kind of important. And in the entrepreneurship world, one thing I do a lot is I reach out to other entrepreneurs. Hey, how are you dealing with this? How do you do this? Because again, I know that they're dealing with a lot of things. In fact, one of the biggest topics I tend to talk about on the podcast is burnout. Is this feeling of loneliness, because the 5 to 9, as I mentioned, it's instead of watching Netflix at night with the wife, you know, hanging out with the kid, it's I'm downstairs doing some content creation, building out the website, writing a blog, creating a podcast episode. Right. And so it is time consuming. But then once you start to kind of create these processes, again, like I mentioned, I don't want you to be working 15 to 18 hours a day. I want you to create processes and make it a little bit easier. And the way I found out how to create processes was networking with other people, networking with people that are dealing with the same thing I'm dealing with, because it is difficult, right? And as I mentioned, once you kind of get up into those different roles where there is limited like-minded professionals in your industry, it's imperative to find at least one or two, right? And don't be afraid to ask for help. I think there's a big stigma. You know, there has been a stigma for some time about mental awareness and mental health. It's okay to ask for help. I'm a grown man and I've cried. I'm okay admitting I cried. You know, this week's a good week. Last week, not so good. My Raiders lost to the Chiefs. I had more phone calls from my wife's parents than I did on my birthday. You know, it was a rough week last week, but this week's a good week. I'm on a podcast. I'm headed to Arizona, you know, and we have those ups and downs. Everybody does. Everybody does. But here's the thing. We can't wake up every morning, put on the ugliest outfit, and then blame the world for what we look like. Right? Everybody has a bad day. And it usually starts out like first in the morning, right? You spilt coffee on yourself. You can't find your car keys. The dog just, you know, ate your homework or whatever the case may be. It always seems to start out first thing in the morning. But at the end of the day, especially in healthcare, you know, Maya Angelou once said, people may not remember what you said. They may not remember what you did, but they will always remember the way you made them feel. In healthcare, how do we want to be remembered for the way we make someone else feel? These are someone's mom, brother, sisters, cousin, grandma, grandpa. These are family members. One day they will be one of our family members. One day it may be one of us. How do we want to be remembered for the way we make other people feel? Yeah. And that is important to know, but it's also important to find like-minded people that are going through this, because those hard days, you know, the sweet isn't as sweet without the bitter. Right. And sometimes the days are bitter, and being able to meet with somebody that has that like-minded or has that same experience, so you can take that bitter and pour it into a glass of whiskey together. That is important. You know, that's very important.
That's right. That's right. So I guess let me wrap up our session. And I think this has been a great conversation. And until we connected, I never thought about how entrepreneurs and the physician strategy work had such similarities, but it really does. The qualities of entrepreneurs. So as you're doing these podcasts and blogs and you get to interview all these various entrepreneurs, what do you most admire about them? The qualities you admire in them? Because I think some of the things you probably admire in them are attributes that maybe we all want to aspire to in the physician strategy world.
Yeah, great, great question. One of the things I really admire about not only entrepreneurs, but physicians as well, is they always look at a problem as an opportunity to find a solution, right? They look at, one of my old former guests, Colin Langford, he's a chief, I can't remember exactly what he is, but he's for this cannabis company. And one thing is really, really unique. His mind is always moving. He's like, hey, I just drove by this business and I know this business has been doing, I looked up their, you know, their 10K and I saw their business plan. And I'm looking at all this information. And he's like, I can see this growing in 10 years. I'm wondering how they do it. And he likes to get down to the nitty gritty. And it's just really interesting the way some individuals' minds work. And that's, again, going back to the importance of networking, because I would have not have known this. I would have not had been able to experience some of these individuals and start to learn from them if I didn't network, right? And this is the same thing with the physician. I mean, if you look at 10 years ago, look at breast cancer survival rates 10 years ago till today. That's all come through shared knowledge, right? Providers learning and then sharing and learning and sharing and learning and sharing. You know, we have that, the general rule in healthcare is see one, teach one, do one, or see one, do one, teach one, right? And that's the same thing as an entrepreneurship. See one, do one, teach one. You can't expect, nobody's perfect. Perfection is impossible to obtain. So don't judge yourself against those perfectly curated social media accounts that probably have a lot of money and marketing behind them. Okay. Perfection is impossible to obtain. And that's okay. I'm not here to be perfect. But what I'm here is to, like, for example, healthcare. We work in healthcare. There's not going to be a perfect outcome. We're looking for the best outcome, right? There's various outcomes. And as a provider, they're looking for the best possible outcome to help you as a patient for your personal life, right? And so it really is interesting because I admire that they're always problem solvers. And I think we all are. Individually, we all are problem solvers, except that I think, you know, it's usually tending like the middle school area where you begin to realize, you know, I'm not really good at that. That's when I realized, you know what? I'm not good at math. I'm horrible at math. That's why I use Excel. Excel is help. And I love Excel. I love, you know, QuickBooks. They have systems that can help me do my math. I understand that's a weakness, right? But understanding that, and then also leveraging your strengths is important, right? And the only way I think you can do that is, again, networking, learning from others, because there's so many experiences that we don't know. Experience is going to help you grow in life. But that's one of the qualities I really find admirable about entrepreneurs and physicians, is they just continue to look for solutions. And then once they've found a solution, right? We've found a solution for breast cancer. Okay, let's go further. Let's actually remove breast cancer from our hereditary line completely. How can we clear everybody from breast cancer, right? So they've already solved, like, we can get this far, but now let's get further, right? They're constantly growing, they're constantly learning. And that's just, I think that's an entrepreneur. I think that's a profession. I think that's human beings, right? We're constantly growing.
Yes. And I think that those of us in the physician strategy work, liaisons, recruiters, physician leaders, et cetera, I think you've really just nailed it, which is that we have to constantly be learning and growing and evolving and investing in ourselves, investing in our own knowledge, investing in what it is that we're doing so that we can take things to the next level. And then we help our organizations. We help those that we're trying to serve at the same time. Gabriel, it's been great having you here on the podcast. Really enjoyed the conversation and I appreciate your time.
Yeah, no, thank you for having me on. I really do appreciate it. I appreciate everything your team has been doing throughout the nation. And for folks that haven't had an opportunity, I would highly recommend, you know, reaching out to this team. Really, really good team, really good rate to work with. But yeah, thank you again so much for the opportunity to be on the show. I look forward to hearing the episode. And for any of those folks who are interested, please follow me on theshadesofe.com is the website. You can sign up for the newsletter there. You can also subscribe to the podcast, The Shades of Entrepreneurship, on Apple Podcasts as well as Spotify. And then lastly, if you want to connect, please look me up on LinkedIn, Gabriel Flores. I'm always happy to connect with others and build relationships and networks. So I look forward to hopefully meeting some of y'all either in person or virtually.
Okay, great. Thank you.
No, thank you.